from Hebrews chapter 1. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by a Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom He also created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being. And He sustains all things by His powerful words. When He had made purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name He has inherited is more excellent than theirs. And from chapter 2, beginning with verse 5, now God did not subject the coming world about which we are speaking to angels. But someone has testified somewhere, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, or mortals that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels. You have crowned them with glory and honor, subjecting all things under their feet. Now in subjecting all things to them, God left nothing outside of their control. As it is, we do not yet see everything in subjection to them. But we do see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God, He might taste death for everyone. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer and their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. The book of Hebrews is unlike many of the writings of our New Testament, and the fact that most of the recordings of Holy Scripture are written to a specific people, perhaps a church, not unlike ours in a modern day culture, or maybe to a teacher or leader in the faith. That's what most of the writings of the New Testament encompass. But the writer of the book of Hebrews, instead of writing to a specific certain location or individual, is a writing to the entire early church, to the Christian faith, to the movement that was experiencing persecution and peril, and among many other things, what they needed from this book was a little encouragement. Isn't that a gift to our community, to our faith, to our family? The voice of encouragement to strengthen us along our journey. Because let's be honest, life is filled with challenges and adversities. So may we embrace in this text today these words of instruction from the writer of Hebrews and encouragement. We're not clear exactly who the author is. Some theologians argue for Paul being the most logical choice, while others feel it may have been Barnabas himself, the son of encouragement that was so central to the strength in Paul's ministry. Whoever it is, and regardless of who it is, there are in this great passage deep reflections of encouragement to us who point most of all to the sonship and lordship of Jesus Christ, who encourages us and created our faith. So as we reflect today on this passage, I want to look intently at some of the portions of this specific reading, but also keep the larger book of Hebrews in mind as we consider four principles that the writer here today reminds us that embody the nature of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm going to go through this model, and I'm going to share with you four P's that are exemplified in the book of Hebrews that honor and celebrate our Lord's nature. It's not all-encompassing. How can we encompass and define fully the grace, the love, the power of our Lord Jesus Christ? But in our text today, the writer does point us to four specific points that I think will enhance and encourage us in our journey of family, faith, life, and work. The first P that jumps out to me that our writer shares with us today is that Jesus was and is the pioneer of our faith. You know, I like that word pioneer. Whether we embrace the wonderful meals created by the pioneer woman, or we think of those who ventured into space, who first walked upon the moon, who were pioneers in exploration, or we think of some of our fellow forebears, right? Those like Randall and I share with Scottish descent who came to the new country and then moved eventually from Appalachian down into North Mississippi. They were pioneers on the frontier. When I think of pioneers, I'm reminded of people who often were gripped with the nature of bravery. Ones willing to be the first to take a journey, to be trailblazers for others, to set an example, and to go forth and explore something new. Yesterday, we went to a football game over at Ole Miss, and at a portion of the game, they celebrated their homecoming inductees for this year. They honored several great Americans and Mississippians. They honored a gentleman who was in his wheelchair that had served his country in the war and had endured injuries, sacrificing and serving others. They recognized the great work of Senator Thad Cochran on behalf of our state and many others as he was inducted. But then the greatest applause of all that day was awarded and stood as James Meredith was recognized as the pioneer of integration at that school. We in our culture celebrate and appreciate those who are willing to go first, to be pioneers, to take the chance, to say, I want to be an example for others to follow. And friends, this is the word that the writer of Hebrews uses for us today to describe Jesus Christ. He said, He is the pioneer of our faith. In other words, it began with Him. It was His bravery that embraced the persecution, the challenges, the rejection at times, even from His family. It was Jesus who said, this is the new way to faith, that it's built upon love. It's built upon grace. It's built upon my Heavenly Father, and it's big enough for us all. That is a pioneer to celebrate. It made our faith possible. That is the nature of our Lord Jesus Christ. Also, the writer, as he speaks of Jesus being the pioneer, I celebrate a writing that is popular and well known to some of us later in this book of Hebrews. In chapter 12, verse 2, the writer says of Jesus, not only is He the pioneer of our faith, but He is also the perfecter of our faith. Isn't that a beautiful description? You know, we think of those who perfect things and make it to where it no longer needs to be improved. That's the second P of our nature of Jesus that the Hebrews writer wants to emphasize to us. Not only did Jesus begin the faith, but He perfected the faith. The writer shared with us in the reading that I delivered this morning that before Jesus, God communicated to His people through prophets, right? For hundreds of years, it would be a different messenger calling the people of Israel, the people of faith, to turn back to God. They were the voices speaking for God, but our writer says today, but in these last times, we no longer need other prophets. We have the perfect prophet who has proclaimed once and for all God's glory and His guidance for our life. It has been perfected. You know, I think of the words of our Constitution in the United States that begin with these words: "We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union." May we never forget that is the goal. That was the essence of what this nation was founded upon. And friends, during these troubling times that we face as a nation and with political tension, it seems that we have deviated from that understanding that we are a United States. And it makes us question, are we forming a more perfect union? You know, as we've faced the troubling tensions of the Supreme Court nominee process, and regardless of which side we may come down upon that issue, it was a time of peril, of question, of anger for us as an entire country. But I believe when we are at our best, as a nation, as a church, as a family, it's when we celebrate, friends, what we hold in common more than we focus upon what separates us. I saw a little Facebook image this week, and I copied it on my page, that showed a picture of a church sign that said this: "America, period. America, the elephant and the donkey can't help you. You better put your trust back into the Lamb." Friends, doesn't that speak to us at the essence of our nation and of our faith and of our victory as a people? Yes, we have our political opinions and perhaps even times agendas, but may we remember most of all, as people of faith, as Christian people, our hope is not in a political process or a person or a platform. Our hope, friends, most of all, is in the Son of our Lord and Jesus Christ Himself. He is the one who has perfected our faith and our hope through His encouragement. May we hear these words of the Hebrews. May we as a nation strive in every way, even when we disagree with those that we can't seem to get along with at times, try to seek to encourage even those who are different from us, so that we can be truly united together. Isn't it coincidental? I don't much believe in coincidence. I believe more in the Holy Spirit. Doesn't it seem coincidental today that we're celebrating World Communion, a day that unifies the faith regardless of denomination, location, Judy? We celebrate the Lord's Supper on this day as one church of Jesus Christ, saying we are one in Him. May we as a nation strive to embrace that same spirit of encouragement, of unity, as we model the one who perfected our faith and made us one. The next P that our writer speaks to us about today is, not only does he tell us of the nature of Jesus for the larger church in general, that Jesus is the one who began our church. He was the pioneer. Not only is Jesus the perfecter of our faith, but friends, Jesus is also for us individually our provider. Isn't that beautiful to know? That it's not just a generic relationship that we have with some distant God. Not only did He introduce our faith to us and perfect it for others to turn to us, but you individually, Ken, you individually, Manya and Benton and all of us, God says for you as a person, I want to be your provider. You personally are mine. The writer says it this way. In our reading in verse 3, he says to us that Jesus is the sustainer of our faith. Not only the perfecter, not only the pioneer, but the one who sustains us. When we read that word sustaining, it tells us that to sustain something is to strengthen it, to support it, to physically and mentally embrace their journey together. That's what I call, friends, a provider. God is that. For us, to sustain us in our weakness. Now, perhaps you, like me at times, wonder, why is this journey so challenging? God, wouldn't it be much more joyful, my journey in earth, if you could lighten my load a little bit? I would really rather you not be so much a sustainer, God, and provider, as I would really prefer you to be, most of all, an overcomer. Put it behind me. Don't we all wrestle with those feelings at times that this burden is simply too heavy to carry? I think of the words of Coach Willie this morning in our men's fellowship when he shared that when he's coaching his girls in basketball, he says to them, ladies, you are diamonds. That's your choice. You can become diamonds. But here's the problem. For something to become a diamond, it begins as coal. And that coal has to be heated. It has to endure pressure. It has to go through challenges and adversities. And through that process, it becomes its true performance and beauty and ultimately a diamond. Isn't that the way it is for us? Maybe, and surely, that's why Jesus chose to be our provider, not simply our overcomer. But so that through our adversity, church, in our hardships, in family, in faith, in work, He is using that to mold us and make us and transform us into His beautiful creation. He's with us. I believe that. As much as I often hit my knees and pray and say, Lord, help me through that, I find His presence strengthening me and sustaining me through whatever adversity I face, because God is indeed, for each of us, a provider. You know, lastly, I think of the words of our scripture today that reminds us that Jesus also, for us individually, not only does He provide for us in an unfair world, let's be honest, not only does He sustain us when it seems that the sin of the world is attacking us. That's the providence that God gives to us. But here's what our God does too. The scripture tells us that our Lord purifies us from our sin. Wow. Do you hear that with me, church? For us individually, not only does God provide for us, from the sins of the world, the things that we don't deserve, that we didn't sign up for, that we didn't ask for, that isn't fair, Jimmy. God provides for us in those circumstances, but then God purifies us from our own sins and our own brokenness. You know, I think of drinking purified water, right? If you look that up and you study these who purify water, it tells us that through a mechanical process, it takes out the impurities so that water can be enjoyed for all it was for us, to give us nourishment. Friends, that's what our God does for us. He purifies us. He makes us new. He restores us. You know, I think of the words of the late, great Billy Graham, who shared a funny story once. And I'll give my best Billy Graham imitation in all respect of him in sharing this. But Dr. Graham said he was going to a little community to preach a series of services once, and he needed to stop by the local post office. And he saw a child along the side of the road, and he stopped and said, "Son, could you tell me where the local post office is?" And to that, the little boy told Dr. Graham how to get to the post office. And after doing so, Dr. Graham thanked him and he said, "By the way, son, I want you to know that if you'll come down to the Baptist church tonight, I'll tell you how to get to heaven." The little boy said, "I don't think I'll be making it because you don't even know how to get to the post office." You know, I'm grateful that we don't have to ask how to get to heaven. Friends, we have a God who purifies us. And all we do as His people is simply embrace His love. And I believe you can do that anytime, any place, by simply calling out and crying out to Him. It was in Mark chapter 10 from our reading this week that Jesus said this, "Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom as a little child will never enter it." You know what I find peace about there? Children don't have all the answers, right? Children are innocent and needy. They need others to sustain them and do what they can't do alone. And our God says to us, friends, that I yearn to purify you and set you free through my love forever. And all you have to do is embrace that as a child, knowing it's not you, but my grace and love that is sufficient. Thanks be to God that our Lord embraces us and makes us one. Amen. In response today, I invite you to join with me and remember what it is that we believe as Christian people to do.